Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is the Yehuda Project on another Sunday, first day of the week. I hope everyone is doing well. All is well. All praises be to the High and Holy One of Israel. Shalom, shalom. Well, this is a whole nother week. We starting a whole nother week, and we here again. Shalom, everybody. It is so much stuff going on. I don't even know where to start. You know, I was kind of saving this for today, but it is really incredible, the things that are happening right now. You know, just the people, period. People have just gone crazy. Let me not say that, because this is kind of a little on the crazy side. But first, let me talk to everyone. How is everybody doing today? If you can hear me, please push one. Anybody can hear me, push one. Let me know. Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, push one. Oh, look at all them ones. Thank you, everybody. Shalom, shalom. You know, there's a lot going on. I'm not talking about the natural disasters and the things that we saw yesterday, yes, those things are tremendously terrible. It's unbelievable the things that are happening right now in the earth, everywhere, all over the world, in every different country. Somebody is suffering some sort of catastrophe. But it's other stuff going on too. I don't know what's going on with the I just gotta pull it up for you. Hold on, let me just pull it up. I just want you all to hear this. Now, when I heard this, I was like, this can't be real. And come to find out that it was. You know, and I've never seen anything like this before. And, you know, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure. You know, I'm just really not sure. But I'm going to play this for you anyway. And I want you to just kind of listen. I hope this is the right one. But I want you to just kind of listen. And you tell me what you think. Just listen at this crazy stuff that's going on. Hold on a moment. Let me see. Hold on one moment. All right. I had to make sure this is the right one. But I want you to hear this. This is, and it's incredibly crazy. Listen to this. Hold on.
On Sunday, August 13th, First Lady Loretta Jones was attacked during worship service. Loretta Jones is the wife of Bishop Noel Jones, the senior pastor of City of Refuge Church in California. Since the incident, a woman by the name of Regina Adams has confessed to assaulting First Lady Loretta Jones.
My name is Regina Adams, and I'm the one who punched Loretta Jones in the face.
There had not been any images of what transpired that Sunday inside the sanctuary until now. Take a look and see what happened in the immediate aftermath of the incident. Warning, the following images may be upsetting to some.
Okay, so I ain't gonna play a whole lot of it. But they were having church service on a Sunday. Noel Jones's church was having church service on a Sunday. And I'm assuming that he was preaching or something. This lady walks up to his wife, punches her in the face, and knocks her out. Not only did she do that, but she gets on YouTube, y'all, listen, y'all, YouTube, and confesses to what she's doing and said voices told her to do this. And that this lady, that Noel Jones's wife had been coming to her in the spirit, threatening her life and her daughter's life, so she felt like she had no other choice than to punch this lady in the face. Have you ever heard of such? The people today, I don't even know. I'm shocked that that kind of stuff. I guess I'm not, because you know what? They walk up in the church and they shoot the church up and they do all kind of stuff to people in church. But the fact that mental illness is getting so bad to the point where this lady had an opportunity to walk up on her, on the pastor's wife, and it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. I mean, you know, you just wonder, is there anywhere safe today? Because it could have been a whole lot worse. He could have shot her. Do you have to have armed guards everywhere that you go? Is it resulting to the things that we're doing in this community, whether it be religious entertainment or regular entertainment or just going to the grocery store? Do you have to have police presence everywhere that you go? I was just shocked. But that ain't even the kicker. I just want to know what you think about that. That ain't even the kicker. That's not even the cream of the la crop. When I saw this other video I'm getting ready to play you, I was like, oh, my goodness. It is unbelievable to the point where people are the level of spirituality and the level of normalcy that people are walking around that they have that they really don't have. And I'm going to tell y'all something. That's why we don't put our pictures on the internet. That's why I don't go live on YouTube. That's why we don't do live teaching, because you have to protect yourself when you're speaking to the public. You have people, especially over here in Israel, that come off and go way off on the deep end. They go way over into Never Land with their teaching. They precept stuff that's way out of the way, and they crazy. And they get the biggest following ever from other people, and these people have serious mental illness. That is exactly why. And I tell everyone to protect yourself at all costs. This is why we don't do it. We could probably have a much larger following if we went live on YouTube and we did this. No, it is. And for the brothers and the sisters that have your faces on YouTube and that have been standing on them street corners, I literally pray for you all, because I'm telling you, this thing is amping up to the point where this is just, people just have a level of boldness today. That they have a level of, you know, I pray for the street preachers. I pray for them all the time. You know that the Most High let his angels be encamped around them and to protect them, because you have to literally be careful today. Say, see, this, and they got on YouTube, y'all, and confess. I'm like, really? Crazy stuff. Insane. People have really gone off the deep end. She literally knocked this lady completely out. They had to drag this lady up the stage and in the back, and her head was hanging back, knocked her straight out. You have to be careful today. You have to be very, very careful today in how you conduct yourself, what you say, how you move. That's why I'm very, very particular as to what I say on this radio show. I'm very, very particular as to how I move and what I and the things that I address, because I'm telling you, there is a whole lot of crazy people out here today just looking for a reason. They're just looking for a reason. They're looking for a reason. And it's sad that we have gotten to this point. And got on YouTube. She got a whole, at least 11 minutes full of why. And her son was following me around, and I heard her in the spirit say, if you want some, come and get some. I was like, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. It's too much. You know? And when you're a part of the public and you're speaking to the public, whether it be on YouTube, whether it be on Blog Talk, whether it be on TikTok, whether it be on Instagram, however you move, you're accessible to the people who have joined into your platform, whatever it is that you're using. Gotta be careful. You really gotta be careful, because to her, it was legit for her. She was like, I had no other choice. And she sounded real serious, like, I had no other choice. I had to protect myself and my daughter. And you know, I have been telling her in the spirit to leave me alone. I'm like, excuse me? It's a lot. It is a lot. You know, nobody deserves to be attacked just for no reason. It doesn't matter who it is, but when you're dealing with the public, you have to have a layer of protection on you, because people don't think the same way that you do. They don't. See, she had a whole reality in her mind that made sense to her, and it made so much sense that she went on YouTube with the confession, and yes, I did it, and this is the reason why, and my daughter has cancer, and I know that she's not sexually active, and I know that she's the reason why my daughter got cancer. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I'm a big girl. I don't even know why she would even come at me like that, but in the spirit, she told me to come get some. And I'm like, really? It's unbelievable, I'm telling you. On top of everything else. On top of everything, and mental illness is a part of the things that we have had to suffer with in this captivity. It's a real life thing. It's a thing. And the way that people rationalize is not the same way you do, and you have to be careful. That's all I'm going to tell you, and I'm really talking to the people that's listening under. You have to be careful out here. You have to be careful. Because everybody ain't rap tight. They just not. I don't care what you say. They just not rap tight, and you have to truly be careful. You do. It is something that we have to, that we, you know, if it wasn't for the Most High protecting and keeping us, you know, I don't know what kind of situation we would be in, but he has protected us. And he has kept us, even when you're sick, when you go into these hospitals and you're dealing with these people, you have to be careful. You know, don't ever go in by yourself. Take somebody with you when you go into the hospital. Don't ever go by yourself, because I'm telling you something, it ain't the way it used to be. It just ain't. Ain't nothing the way it used to be. It's just not. It's really some scary stuff. I mean, you know, you really have to understand. I think what the Most High is really doing for me is he is opening up my eyes to the enemy. You know, we know he's all-knowing. He's going to protect us. But he said, know those that labor among you. You have to make it your business. I mean, with a church that big, you don't know everybody that walks into the church, the reason why they're there, what their purpose is. You don't know those things. But for the most part, you have to pay attention to the things that are going on around you. You have to. You really do. Because it's too much drama jumping off right now. You know, it's a lot of stuff happening right now. So, you know, to those, like I said, the brothers and sisters that are doing YouTube clips and you showing your face, you know, the husband and wife teams, the new people who have popped up on YouTube that's now a part of the woke movement, so they calling it now. We woke now. I'm not talking about that particular person that's on that show, but it's this whole Israelite movement is moving and new people are popping up. You must be careful. You have to be careful. You have to be. I mean, in the age of information, pretty much people can kind of find out what they want to know, but you don't have to make it easy for them. You have to be careful, especially when we're talking about these, the people of the other nations, the situation that we're dealing with in this country, and the things that we have had to endure. You have to make sure, you have to be careful. That's all I'm going to say. Really do. This lady was just sitting in her church, having church service, and the lady walked over to her. I said, I wonder what kind of measures they're going to put in place now, you know, that you walk up to somebody like that, because it could have been way worse. It could have been, you know, of your own kind. And she had no, like I said, her rationale was normal for her. What she said and the reason why she did it, she got a whole video about why she did it, and none of it makes sense. None of it. But to her, it does. It makes all the sense in the world. So much is starting to happen. I mean, and I'm talking about from a spiritual level, as in the spirit realm, and the things that are happening as a result in the natural. And we were talking about this yesterday, how everything is getting prepared. Everything is lining up. Everything. And then I found another video. Anybody have any questions to that? Because I'm going to open up somebody's mic, because I know these people usually talk. Eric Cole 504, do you have any response to that at all whatsoever?
No, I just want to say we are living in the end times, you know, and these are some of the signs that we're seeing.
Yeah, it seems like it. It is really something. Hold on a minute. Let me get this other one up. I just want to make sure, because I know all of you all pushed one at the same time, you know, so I just wanted to make sure that I got that out there, because this is a lot. I mean, it is a lot going on. Now, this one, it was very, very interesting. And the only reason why this one was so interesting is because of the information that came with it. So hold on. I don't want to play the whole thing. I just want to cover a certain part of it. Hold on just a moment. Let me go back, because I want to hear. Okay, now, let me stop it. Evidently, from what I heard from this particular video, and this is somebody else's YouTube channel, what I heard from this particular video is, and I know some of you guys are on here that work from this denomination, that the Church of God in Christ is now merging with the Mormon Church. And I won't say merging. Let me take that back. From what I understand, they have, they are collaborating with the Mormon Church now. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what the pastor of the Church of God in Christ has said. I'm going to play it real quick, and I'm going to open up the mic so that we can play it when he talks. Hold on. I'm going to play another guy on my class, on my show, so you guys can kind of listen to, because they're from the Church of God in Christ, and I want you to kind of listen to what's going on. So let me go back just a little. Now, check this out.
Auntie Deb said something. I got to go and pull out my biblicals, okay? Is y'all ready for this? Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. Now, let me move my stuff down here to the side of the screen. What does the Book of Mormon mean by skin of black? Can we talk about it? Well, hold on. Wait. Before we do that, let's do this.
This brings our trip here to Salt Lake City to a close. We've come here and we...
Now, this is the presiding bishop of the Kojic Church talking.
We have met with the leadership of the Latter-day Saints Church. I've had an opportunity to sit with the first president, that's the head of the church, and with members of the board of 12 and members of the 70 elders. It has been absolutely phenomenal, and we formed some partnerships, and we're going to be a blessing to each other, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, and the Church of God in Christ, and also to humanity. We have come together to discuss some ways where we can impact the world. Stay tuned. Something good is going to happen. I am excited. And this has been a blessing.
I will give God all the praise.
Celebrate the life. So what they have done, and I'm going to play some more, they went out to Salt Lake City, Utah, and they have collaborated with the Church of the Mormons. Now, I always lean to the fact that the Mormons had a thing against black people. However, there's someone on this show who used to be a Mormon. So he's going to get into the details of all of the stuff that, this is getting ready to get serious. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, wow, really? I mean, you know, because I knew that Kojic and the Apostolic Church and the Pentecostal churches and the Baptist churches had gone into this universal church umbrella. I knew they had done that. They did that years ago. They came up under the umbrella of this universal church. But to go and to be into cahoots with the Mormon church, you got to hear what this brother's got to say. Hold on. Here we go. Hold on.
Okay. So while we were out here shaking hands with all these Mormon white people, Salt Lake City, Utah. It ain't Florida. Ain't no palm trees.
Auditorium seats 21,000 people. And I am so blessed that I was able to be a part of this. Kiera and First Lady, they were a part of the Mormon choir for a few minutes. And it was just exciting to be here. Wow.
I'm going to mute you back, sis, just for a minute. I just want you to hear this. Hold on. I want to get...
Also, you got a rejuvenation, a revelation. Oh, okay. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. Hold on one. Uno momento.
Okay, now he's getting ready to get the guy on the line who used to be a Mormon. And just listen to what his response was. Hold on a minute. Let me make sure I get him on here. Here you go.
Just tell us what you think.
What do I think about collaboration?
Yeah. What's your knowledge of the Mormon people?
My knowledge of the Mormon church, I was in there when I was 15 years old in high school.
Uh-huh.
And I was ordained into the Mormon church because, as I said earlier, every male has to be ordained.
Uh-huh.
You cannot be a part of the Mormon church and remain a member unless you are ordained into priesthood. There's two priesthoods. You got the Aaronic priesthood. You got the...
Uh-huh.
I was ordained into the Mormon church.
Uh-huh.
And once I was ordained, that's when I really began to see a lot of the behind the scenes and the secrets and the tactics on ways that they do certain things as far as drawing people in. And really, my take on this is, if they really are, if Church of God in Christ is really collaborating, then what they've done is they've just signed a deal with the devil.
Oh.
The book of 2 Nephi, 5:21.
Now, what's 2 Nephi? That sounds like some...
2 Nephi is, I think it's like the third chapter in the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon, it says it on the front cover. They don't believe the Bible to be the only word of God. They believe the Book of Mormon is another testament of Jesus Christ. They believe that the Book of Mormon is actually what came from Jesus himself.
Oh.
And so the book of 2 Nephi, the 5th chapter and the 21st verse says, and he caused the cursing to come upon them, yea, even a sore cursing because of their iniquity. For behold, they had hardened their hearts against him, that they had become like unto a flint, wherefore as they were white and exceedingly fair and delightsome, unto my people the Lord God did cause a blackness to come upon them. And what that verse is talking about is, it's talking about, they believe it to be people from Asia, the Native Americans. We were taught about them. And Africans and Israelites, people from Israel, were what the Mormon church taught us, were cursed.
Mm.
You could not become, and this was, has been a teaching, they were open about it up until the year of 1975, when they ordained their first black man to the priesthood. And they still believe that way, but now, with the way things are with media and all of that, they're kind of undercover about it. So what they do is they have this book that is called Preach My Gospel. And Preach My Gospel in detail, what this book does, and I still have it to this day in my closet somewhere. What that does is that book is a tactic that teaches you how to manipulate and train the mind of the person that you're trying to minister to get them to believe what you're saying. So it's a book of, basically a book of manipulation.
Mm.
So there literally is an answer for everything. Like, for example, if you ask them why they don't believe in speaking in tongues, in that book there is a tactic that they use to combat it against that. They, when you are ordained, they send you a letter in the mail and they call you on the mission. It's like being drafted into the military. And when you are drafted and you receive your letter, you have to be sent away to MTS, which is Mormon training.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
Did y'all hear what he said? He said, this is, now listen. Oh, my goodness. So they are putting, they have just joined with the Book of, with the Mormons. And this brother was in the Mormons, he said, at 15 years old. And he said, in my opinion, they have just signed a deal with the devil. Well, we know what the deal is. But do you see how we're moving into the scriptures? Because the scripture said there was going to be a great falling away. You know, and when you understand what this is all about, oh my goodness gracious. When he goes into detail about how they sent a letter to your house, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Your parents don't have control over you. The people don't have control over you. When that letter comes to your house, it tells you what country they're going to send you to, and you have to be packed up and be ready to go, and they fly you over to the country. You can't use your own cell phones. You can't bring your own clothes. You have everything that is just like being in the military. This is a church. And I was like, wow, look at how the Most High is moving this thing forward. We was just talking about the religions and the one world religion and how they all have to come up under this umbrella. And look at what he's doing. I'm opening up some mics. Hold on. Brother Yerushalayim, are you there? I'm going to open up sister's mic.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Isn't that something?
That's just incredible, man. I'm still trying to get this taken in because I would never even thought those two would come together.
The Church of God in Christ is collaborating with the Mormon Church.
I heard it, but I just can't comprehend it because you just don't put them two together.
In Salt Lake, Utah. Well, they believe in polygamy, multiple wives, all kind of stuff. And that the Israelites started out white, and because they went against Yah's word, he turned us black.
Wow. You're right about that great falling away. Yeah, that's just that great falling away. You're right. And I was thinking about that yesterday, the falling away, and what would that entail, but. Good, I guess I see now.
This is the presiding bishop of the Kojic Church. The Kojic Church. Hold on, let me play a little more. Hold on. Let me play a little more. Here we go.
Keep talking. Go ahead.
Okay. But after you are ordained to the priesthood, and you spend several years in the church, before you turn 22, you have to be sent off to what is called MTS. And what MTS is the Mormon training school, where they send Mormon male and female who they are sending out to do home teachings. And you spend 2 months there, and literally all over the world, like, they train you in this one place to be able to speak any language and become fluent in record time. They teach you how to further manipulate people. Like, I was so far in, and I did a lot of home teaching. I was so far in, and it was very in my heart, me growing up as a little boy in the church, I kind of halfway knew that it wasn't really right what I was teaching, but I was a kid. I was looking for acceptance. They embraced me. And it was next to impossible for me to go to a house, and let's say I go to the hood and I'm ministering to a group of black guys. I'm 100% sure that I can convert them and have them baptized in the Mormon church that Sunday. That's how deep this stuff is. That's how real it is. And it's demonic. They do not believe that all people are equal. They don't believe that black people are from God. They do believe that black people are demonic. Even me being ordained in the Mormon church as a priest, every time I came in contact with someone that was white, I was like a charity case. I've been invited to many homes, eaten dinner with many people, sat down, had dinner with the bishop. Everybody I've come in contact with, that's how I was treated. Like, I was a charity case, and they were doing God's will by helping the needy.
Sounds like white people. Go ahead.
Yes. And so that's how they are. It is very, similar to the Jehovah's Witnesses. When you go into a Mormon temple, there are no windows. They don't have drum sets. They don't believe in speaking in tongues. They don't believe in none of that. They don't believe in clapping. They don't believe in preaching. What they do is they have a bishop that they put in every single temple. And that bishop's only job is to sit up and observe and make sure everything goes exactly how it's supposed to go. Every single church has the exact same service. They have the exact same songs, and they have the exact same teaching every single week. Nobody strays away and does anything different. It's uniform. It's just like the military. They program you from a teenager on up until you're adopted. And when you leave, they don't really, they shun you. They'll ask you to leave if you don't do what they tell you to do, but they really don't believe in shunning. What they do is they put you out in hope that you will see the error of your ways. And then once you leave, they will always find you.
Wait, hold on. So you said what?
Once you leave, they will always be able to find you.
Oh.
There's nowhere that I can go. I've switched jobs 3 times because I was harassed by Mormons. There's nowhere that I've been that they did not find me. The church that I was working at, they came to the church, showed up there out of the blue. They able to get my phone number. You got to understand, these are your government officials. These are your FBI agents. These are your doctors. These are your lawyers. These are your judges. These are the people that run the government. That's what they are. The Mormon church is one big money thing. It's a big pyramid scheme. It's all about money. They have different hand signals. I saw something in the comments earlier where it was talking about how they believe that Jesus had special kind of garments or something like that, undergarments. Well, yes, they believe that in the Mormon church, you are not allowed to wear regular underclothes. Once you are ordained to the priesthood, they give you a one-piece that looks like a onesie that you would put on the baby. And on the waistband, it has all of the signs and symbols that you find on the American dollar. So it's got the Egyptian pyramid that has the eye in the middle. When you go to the temple, nobody can just go to the temple. You have to receive special permission from the prophet of the church, which is the Church of God in Christ. That's like our presiding bishop.
Oh.
For them, you have to have permission from the prophet to be able to go to the temple, which one of them being where Bishop Sheard was at for his meeting. That's one of the temples. It's forbidden. You have to wear all white. They have to give you a special kind of clothes. You have to have that one-piece undergarment on and white socks. And you can never tell anybody what you see inside of there.
This is incredible. It's incredible. Ooh, Lord.
Yes, it is.
All the symbols that are on the American dollar is on the strip around your waist with this undergarment on.
Wow. Like I said, it just takes me a little time to get to comprehend this. You know, that's something else. That's something.
Isn't that crazy? Oh, my goodness. I was like, the Koji, it's going to be a great falling away. Watch what I tell you.
Yes, it is. A huge falling away.
I agree. And I also think that what they're going to do with the collaborations of the churches, they're going to, next you're going to hear of another, you know, denomination, you know, collaborating with that one until they get all of them in those sales. Then they're going, when the New World Order comes out, they're going to combine all of those into that one world religion. That's what I think is going.
Mm-hmm. That is insane. But they don't like black people, or they don't look at them as equal. But then you're bringing the whole congregation. I think they what they supposed to say, like 4 million members of the Church of God in Christ. Under you going into collaboration with a predominantly black religious institution to bring them under you. That's incredible.
And people fall for that.
Yeah, looks like it. Looks like it. It surely looks like it. I'm telling you, that is crazy.
Well, people better get in that word and stick their head in that word and start understanding what they scream so they'll know.
Yeah, the Most High have a way, though, don't he?
Oh, yeah.
That is crazy. That is insane. You know, it's just insane. But it's happening. It is really, truly happening. This man has gone and struck a deal with the Mormon Church. Wow. I never thought I would see today. I just never thought I would see today.
No. Have they put it out there to the members yet?
I'm not quite sure. I'm just not quite sure. I mean, I don't know when this happened. How long ago? It wasn't that long ago. I can say that. Wow. Wow. I don't know whether they have put, let me see, this was just yesterday. This is the day before yesterday that he actually did the video. So this was a day ago. This was yesterday that he did the video. And that whoever this is talking that he knows was affiliated with the Mormon Church. And I think that's a lot going on. I mean, that is a lot going on. You know? It's crucial. I never thought I would. I mean, who does it? Hold on here. I got the real video of the pastor talking. Let me pull this up. Let me do it. Here we go. Let me get this off of here, because you couldn't really hear him, but this is the actual video of the pastor.
This brings our trip here to Salt Lake. Our trip here to Salt Lake City to a close. We've come here and we have met with the leadership of the Latter-day Saints Church. I've had an opportunity to sit with the first president, that's the head of the church, and with members of the board of 12 and members of the 70 elders. It has been absolutely phenomenal, and we formed some partnerships. And we're going to be a blessing to each other, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, and the Church of God in Christ, and also to humanity. We have come together to discuss some ways where we can impact the world. Stay tuned. Something good is going to happen. I am excited, and this has been a blessing.
I will give God a praise.
Praise God. We just witnessed the choir rehearsal for the Mormon choir. Of course, this auditorium seats 21,000 people. And I am so blessed that I was able to be a part of this. Kiara and First Lady, they were a part of the Mormon choir for a few minutes. And it was just exciting to be here. Wow.
Wow. Wow, y'all. I mean, wow. Wow, that's just, you know what? I told you, the Most High will leave you with your mouth hung open. You just looking like, wow.
Yeah.
I am, I'm not joking. I had to show y'all this. I was just in shock. I'm like, wow. Jesus, peace.
It's some stuff, man.
I am serious.
But, you know, in a million years, nobody would ever thought that those two countries would have combined.
No.
I mean, two religions would have combined. Nobody would have thought that.
Nobody. Nobody. Incredible. Incredible. Wow. Wow, that is incredible.
You know, Yaina, that's just almost as bad as saying that the Muslims and Jews combined. That's incredible.
That's incredible, you know, that this has been going on, because this didn't just happen. It's been in the works.
No.
And that the way that the Most High orchestrates stuff is perfect. I'm telling you, he will leave you with your mouth hung open like, huh? You know, but it all plays into what we were talking about yesterday. He going to get his people. He's going to bring his people up out of there. But we the one with the cult. Now, remember, we was the crazy ones with the cult. But you can like walk a whole congregation into that?
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. Unbelievable. But we the one with the code, because we believe that we know who we are. We're the children of Israel. But you can walk a whole congregation into joining ranks with them. Make it make sense, because they haven't changed about who they think we are.
Mm-hmm. And there's stuff in that book that ain't changed either.
No.
In the book of Nephi, like, really?
What is that? Right. You know what? That's why I told you when I first started the show today that the Most High is really, he's really taking the time to sit down and show me the oppositions, all of the oppositions, all of the different people and the oppositions that come, the religions and the governments and all of the oppositions that the Israelites are facing and going to face. These are, you know, hey, well, I mean, you know, it's real serious stuff here. And I know some of you all have family members in the Church of God in Christ. And he just got appointed presiding bishop. But it didn't start there, because the bishop before him walked the church and collaborated with the universal church. So it's not anything that's new. They just add more to it and blatantly coming out and telling you what's going to happen.
Like I said, it's just shock right now. I mean, it's like,
I was like, wow.
And that's some of the guys that be in the white shirts and the black pants.
I'm getting ready to play some bicycles. Why they be on the bicycles? You know, they ride the bicycles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they be in black and white.
Yeah, I seen some out here riding around. They won't come to this house, though.
Yeah. Yeah. He said they never, but, you can never get out, basically. They'll always know where you are. Hold on, let me play a little bit more. Hold on. Here we go.
They don't believe in churches. They believe that they are the only church, and they believe that God can only use one man at a time. So it's not like Church of God in Christ and other denominations where you have your presiding bishop and you have your general board. Yes, they have a general board of the 12 apostles, but they do not preach. The prophet does not preach, which to them, their prophet is the highest person. And then those 70 groups of men, is called, those, that's called the elders' quorum. And basically, their only job is to make sure that the Mormon church is run exactly the way it should be everywhere in the world. Every single church in the world preaches the same thing. We have time differences, all of that, but the message each Sunday is the same thing. It got to a point where my job started requiring me to work Sundays. So the bishop came to my house, and he told me, he was like, look, he was like, you either got to quit this job or you got to leave the church. And so I chose to leave the church. I had to take care of my family. But ever since I've left the church, I've been stopped. As early as last week, they reach out to me on Facebook, hey, when are you coming back? And what they do is they switch out the missionaries every 2 years. So they go on two-year missions, and it could be anywhere in the world. After those 2 years are up, they switch them out. Sometimes, like if they have things that happen, like an emergency situation, they may switch them out a little earlier, but it's always two men. And always two women. They will never minister together. The women minister to the women. The men minister to the men. And you are not allowed to be within, if I can't hear your voice, the way it was set up when I was a missionary, if I could not hear my partner's voice, he was too far away. You share a bedroom. When they're in the bathroom, you have to be outside of the door. You're not allowed no more than 10 feet or voice length apart from each other at all times, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Hold on. What do you mean your partner?
They pair you up in twos. So whenever you receive your mission call, which is what it's called, which is, like I said, it's like being drafted into the military. When you receive your mission call, which it'll come to your house in a manila envelope. They won't even tell you that you're being called. And when you receive that letter, your mother is not in charge. Your father is not in charge. Nobody is in charge. Whenever you receive that letter, you have to go. And the only thing on that letter that it tells you, that it tells you that you have been selected to go to so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so country at this time. And then after that, within the next week or so, you can expect to be dropped off at the airport to be shipped to the Mormon Training Center. But you're partnered in two, so there's going to be always another person with you. Like what they do now, when I was a missionary, you wasn't allowed to have Facebook and you couldn't talk to your family. Now, they allow you to have Facebook, but only to minister. And you still are not allowed to talk to your family. You can't talk to your parents, can't talk to your friends. You're not allowed to have a girlfriend if you're a male. If you're a female, can't have a boyfriend until your mission is over. You can't talk to your family. Only time you can talk to your family is on Mondays. And that's the same across the board, no matter what state, no matter what country. Only time you can talk to your family is on Mondays. And it has to be, it's no more than 10 minutes, and it's only via email. You're not allowed to call, text, none of that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And they give you phones. So you can't take your personal cell phone. You can't have your personal computer. You cannot have your personal clothes. Not one clothing item that you take with you on your mission will be your own. It'll be what they give you. It's going to be the special one-piece underwear and shirt set. Suits and ties. That's all you got. And then on Mondays, you can dress down because that's technically your day off. But everything is provided for you by the church. It's ran off of donations from the families that are members. So everything's paid for, like your groceries, the vehicle they give you. You will always get a vehicle, and you will always get two bicycles, one for you, one for your partner. And then when it comes to communion, my job as a priest in the Mormon church was to administer the sacrament of communion. So what I did was, like, what they use, as far as much money as they have, you would expect that as Catholic as they seem, that they would bake their own bread. But no, what they do is they go to the regular grocery store. They get bunny bread, Great Value bread, whatever. Loaf bread is what they use, and we crumble it up into pieces. It goes on a tray, and they use water as the blood. So they don't do the grape juice, the wine, none of that. They just use regular water, tap water. You can't have, there's a lot of strict rules. They don't believe in drinking Dr. Pepper. You can't have Dr. Pepper. Not allowed to have Coca-Cola, BT.
Oh, the saints are going to be mad. Now, they can't have no Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
They can't have no Dr. Pepper.
Church. You can't go to dinner on Sunday.
Listen, the saints are going to be mad now. Go ahead.
Can't go to the grocery store on Sunday. Matter of fact, you can't even cook on Sunday. The meal that you prepare for Sunday has to be done on Saturday.
Do you know how many niggas eat and cook and go to the grocery store on Sunday?
Correct.
Y'all can't have, we can't have no caffeine products?
You can't do none of that. I actually got in trouble myself because one of the elders driving by leaving the church and saw me going to Walmart. I got a call from the bishop. You know, you can't go to the store on Sundays. So it's very controlled. They don't believe that Bishop Sheard or any of these other men that went, they're not really looking to partner with them. What it is it's one of the tactics that is in the book that I talked about earlier called Preach My Gospel. That's in there. One of the tactics on how you take over denominations, how you invite the leaders in and make them think that you are on their side in order to gain their money and their following. And they don't believe that he's a man of God. For one, he's black. That's first and foremost. Two, he is not Mormon, and they believe that God can only use one man at a time, so he cannot carry the truth in their eyes. So they don't even respect him. And then three, if you are over the age of 65 and you are married, you cannot minister in a Mormon church. Can't teach, can't do anything.
Wait a minute, say that one more time.
If you are the age of 65 or over and you have if you're married, you cannot teach in the Mormon church. You have to be a certain age. Like, for me, as a young man, I only had till I was 25 years old, which I got out of it way before then. But if you reach 25, you cannot be a missionary and go out and teach. You have to sit and wait. And then when you turn 65, you have to get married, and then you can go on a mission. But after that, you're not allowed to teach, not allowed to say nothing in the Mormon church once you reach a certain age. You just sit there.
Well, women, y'all gonna be hushed up in silence.
they don't believe in giving women any authority.
Who?
Women are not allowed to preach. Men are not even allowed to preach. They don't believe in sermons. You will never walk in a Mormon temple and hear a sermon. The only thing you're gonna hear is talk. And it comes from the Book of Mormon. It does not come from the Holy Bible.
Hmm.
They give you the Holy Bible, but they don't actually believe in the Holy Bible. What they use the Holy Bible for is the Book of Mormon is written in a way that the Quran, the Torah, and the Holy Bible all back up what the Book of Mormon says. That's how the Book of Mormon is written, to make you think that all of these other churches and religions and denominations endorse them and have stolen their ideas from them. They believe their entire existence came from a young boy who they claim was searching for the truth named Joseph Smith. Mm-hmm. And what he did was they said he had been to a Methodist church, had been to a Baptist church, been to a Pentecostal church, couldn't find the truth, been to the Catholic, couldn't find the truth. So he went into the woods, and a light came down from the sky and shined on the ground, and there were golden tablets, they believe. Yeah. They had the truth. And this is what they believe the Book of Mormon is. But they started telling me I had to be quiet when I started asking questions in the missionary classes where all the elders and the priests went. And I asked them, I said, if the Mormons believe that we are first, I said, then why is it that the history says that Joseph Smith went to the Catholics, the Baptists, Methodists, and Pentecostals and couldn't find the truth? That would mean that they existed before the Mormon church. They shut my question down, told me I couldn't ask no more questions. But they claim they were first.
Well, you guys, there you have it. I mean, simple, great, straight from somebody who was in it. Do you hear it straight from them?
Well, the one that collaborated, church that collaborated with them, well, all those black fellows, when they hear those new rules and stuff, I don't know how many they're going to say.
Oh, I wouldn't even go in there, period. No, but
me either.
That is insane, y'all. That's just incredible. That is incredible.
You want to talk about a cult? That's a cult.
Right? No, but we're the ones that are the one. We're the ones that's the bad guys because we are professing to be Israelites and because we left the church. And look where the church is heading now. It's incredible. That's incredible. So all of you all heard this straight from the horse's mouth. If you got family members that's in the Mormon church, I mean that's in the Kojic church, you better be warning them and letting them know. And that's the presiding bishop. So that means that whatever he says goes. So if you're under that umbrella, you got to do what you're told.
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting to watch to see how this is going to play out.
You're right. I want to see how the others going to react. I want to see how people going to react to it. And, you know, if they react like they may, you know, a bunch of sheeple and just start following it. That's crazy.
It is.
I agree.
It is. It's a lot. That's a lot going on. But it's headed in the end time. And this is exactly what we was talking about yesterday in class. How you can watch Yah's word come to pass because it's not going to come back void. And like you said, for those two to come together is like apples and oranges mixing. It don't mix.
Mm-hmm.
But they are going to make sure that the people of color remain subservient and they're going to be over them as they go into that.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it, brother. You rock along?
I still can't believe it, but it's true.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Stay in there. And he was excited, like, wow, this is absolutely phenomenal. Wow. And it's like, really, dude? You looking like, seriously? You know who it reminded me of? It reminded me of the days when the children of Israel were watching the other nations and wanted to be like them. So they started being curious as to how they worshipped and what they did and how special it was and what they, and they walked away from the Most High to go searching, or what he says, whoring after other gods. And that's what it reminds me of, you know, because even with all the stuff that he was saying, you know, it's like, it's going to be people that are going to be curious enough to want to go in there and see what that's all about. And that's exactly why we're sitting in this captivity right here today. And I know about Joseph Smith because when I looked at all of the religions, after I became conscious, I realized that all of the religions that we are now in have originated from the Gentile nations. They have someone at the head of each religion that originated from a Gentile person. And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Even Islam.
Yep. People don't want to hear that, but that is so true.
You know? And he went in the woods, like he said one day, and the light shined down from heaven, and golden tablets was on the ground, and he came, he read these golden tablets, and then poof, here comes the Church of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church. And you got black people today that's in the Mormon church.
They don't research. They just go by the emotion, you know, or somebody told them, or like you said, curiosity. They want to be
curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
It says Joseph Smith Jr., an American religious leader and the founder of Mormonism and the Latter-day Saints movement, published the Book of Mormon at the age of 24. Smith had attracted tens of thousands of followers by the time of his death 14 years later. He was born in 1805 and died in 1844. Incredible. It's just incredible.
Well, they're going to get caught up in their own, you know, lies, because somebody had another book that they were reading from on the internet, and it was saying that Joseph, whatever his name, Smith or whatever, that he lied about what he told the people, and that he copied whatever story that he told, he got that from somebody else or something like that. It wasn't what you were saying, where he walked and saw the light or whatever, that part was not true. From what this book, I think it's called The Sealed Book of the Mormons. Somebody was reading pages out of it on the internet.
Listen to this. It says, according to Smith's later account, while he was praying one night in 1823, he was visited by an angel named Morani. And Smith claimed this angel revealed the location of a buried book made of golden plates, as well as other artifacts, including a breastplate and a set of interpreters composed of two seer stones set in a frame which had been hidden in a hill near his home. Smith said he attempted to remove the plates the next morning, but was unsuccessful because Moroni, this is the angel, returned and prevented him. He reported that during the next 4 years, he made annual visits to the hill, but until the fourth and final visit, each time he returned without the plate. So an angel came to him and told him that this was there.
Wow.
This is on Wikipedia. Incredible.
That you would say that again. Incredible.
Wow.
Well, yeah, we can't believe in the prophets and the scriptures and talk about the people in the scriptures. That's wrong. But he can come up and invent an angel ain't nobody even heard of before and give him some golden tablets and all this stuff. It's just incredible.
And it's one of the richest movements in this country, around the world.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
It goes neck and neck with the Catholic Church. It is. And well, I mean, you know, this is a lot. I mean, you know, this is, you know, like I said, we have to continue to pray that the Most High wakes up his people. I can see a lot of black people leaving the church. I can see a lot of black people leaving the church once that's come out.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Because they ain't going to go for that.
Mm-mm. But either they're going to remove him from position, you know. But I mean, you know, if this is the way it's supposed to be, you know, in the Most High's eyes, if they're supposed to go in there, I can see that. Mm-hmm. That is insane. Just the latest, you know, around the church world, that's the latest. He was excited about moving into the Mormon church and connecting with the Mormon church, not the Israelites, not coming into the knowledge of who you are in terms of Israel, but the Mormon church. And that's the church, the record of everybody's information. If you want to check on your ancestors and take it far as back, they're the ones that have the biggest, the consensus of all the people that were, especially black people. They know who you are.
They sound like the FBI.
I know when my uncle went to research my grandmother's side of the family, he went to the Mormons. That's what he told me out of his own mouth. He said they have a whole database system.
That's crazy. And I believe that because I've heard that before, that you know, they got all the records, you know, all the birth records and everything.
Yep.
I thought the Pope had most of everything, but this is new to me.
They said the Mormons have all the records in terms of the census and, you know, who belongs to who and who came from where and where you were sold to and what family you was under. All, they have a whole lot of information. My sentiments exactly. It's like, wow. I had to sit there for a minute and process all of that. Like, huh? And the man was excited. I'm like, what? He was excited.
Yeah.
That's because he believed in they going to be partners, you know, and from what the fellow that was being interviewed said, that no, they just willing you in so you can be. So he's not going to be happy when he gets the rules and, you know, their policies and what have
you. I would have never thought that. I really would have never thought that. But you know what? It's another part of the puzzle that's coming together. The pieces are coming together. It is. And I believe this is going to open up a whole lot of people's eyes. The whole lot of people's eyes are going to be open like, oh, no, I ain't going to be able to do that. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
You know, it just seems like stuff is moving real quick now, doesn't it, Cecilia? It's like stuff is just popping off the chain now.
It is.
That near the end time will be increased.
It is. It's crazy. It's like, wow. Oh, my gosh. So I just, okay, so, and, you know, So I just wanted to make sure, I wanted to know if Brother William was all right. Is his wife on the line? Has anybody heard anything?
I haven't heard anything, but I was, you know, trying to call his phone. I'm going to try to call his phone again today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sis, if you're on the line, please push 1. You know, because we have really been wondering how he is doing. And hold on a minute. Let me see. Here we go. Area code 540. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Oh, that's me. That's his phone I'm using. Yes. He was discharged last night. The transport people brought him home because he's very weak. So getting up and standing up and walking and stuff like that, it's not happening the way it should. And he goes for dialysis on Tuesday, Thursday, and we're trying to get them. We don't want to be doing any dialysis, a doctor, or anything on Sabbath. But, you know, the devil is just steady trying, but he's not going to succeed. Because I'm praying that they will change that dialysis day. And I'm praying, most of all, that he will be healed and so he wouldn't need dialysis or anything at all medical. That his health will so improve that it would even be better than before. And pray hard that Brother Jackson will stick to just what he should eat and how much he should eat. Because it's difficult for him. He's got a very bad sweet tooth, and it does is bring harm.
So he's
telling me the sodium and the flu, whatever it is, that he would stick to not taking the things in his body that he should. I know it's difficult.
Right.
Foods are made with a lot of poisons and sugars and salts and all those things, but that put out a little more effort. That's what I'm praying for.
Well, I hear him talking in the background. All praises be to the Most High. Yeah. Thank you,
what
God.
What he's doing is correcting me.
The doctor said fluids, too many fluids, and too much salt. That's what the doctor told me.
Yeah. I always
have. He said nothing about sugar.
But I know that sugar also contributes. But anyway, he's always contradicting me.
Praise him. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. And pray for us to be able very soon to get him what's the chair, honey?
Recliner
that also lifts up so it can stand him up. But pray for strength because he has no strength to do the things that he needs to do, like stand up and walk, stuff like that. That's important. He's got a way to go, but he's going to get there.
All right,
yep.
He's home. Praise Yah. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah, Yah. We thank
Hallelujah.
You for your...
It's all because of Yah. And
yes.
Your prayers. I thank you guys for your prayers, because prayer changes everything.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All praises be to his high and holy name. Hallelujah.
Praying that Yah would show the doctors, lawyers, nurses, dialysis people, everybody, a miracle, that he's still in the miracle business. And
yes,
he is Yah. That's what I'm praying for.
Yes, he is. He's a good Elohim. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Yes, he
Brother
is
Yerushalayim,
the greatest.
What are you saying, Brother Yerushalayim?
I was saying it's real good to hear his voice. I'm glad to hear his voice.
Yes.
You know that he's better.
Mm-hmm. He's never lost that strong voice, though.
Nope.
But, I'll tell you.
All praise. Man, I'm telling you. That is true.
The voice needs to walk.
All right. That'll come. That'll come. It'll all come back. Praise mm-hmm. his name.
Hallelujah.
All right, you guys. Well, I think this has been a very interesting call. You know, all of the things that are happening now with the church, and, you know, it's just to me, the Most High is just giving us more information, let us know that his word is true, and it is going to, it's not going to come return unto him void. And, you know, people are going to begin to start searching, because you can't call us a cult and then walk them into something that's totally foreign to them. It ain't that much. It ain't that much smiling and being nice and manipulation in the world, you know. Because those, some of those people that are in the Kojic organization are the children of Israel, and the Most High is going to wake up His people, because it is time for us to prepare to leave this place. All of the things that are happening is purposed by the Most High to be so, and we have to continue to do what we do. We don't knock who worships where or what they worship or how they worship, because we know the scriptures tell us that the Most High gave the other nations their own gods to worship. And we know this. Each nation has his own God that he is assigned to worship. So now we know that our Elohim is in control of it all, because we worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So as we do these things, you know what happened to me? The strangest thing happened to me yesterday. I was sitting after we had finished class yesterday, and I was sitting in the chair, and I felt the unction to get on my knees. And I got down, because I usually pray sitting up. I pray sitting up. But I got down on my knees, and I just began to just thank him for all the things that he had done. You know, thinking that because I hadn't done that act, that I wasn't in right standing. And you know what? The thought came to my mind, you know, if you love me, just keep my commandments. You know, I do want you to pray. I felt the urge, you know, that it's okay to pray, that there's nothing wrong with praying. But the way that you please the Most High is you keep his commandments, his laws, statutes, and his commandments. And that, as a people, is what we are required to do, you know. And if we can't say anything else to the people of these churches that are out here in this religion, is that the Most High is going to open up your eyes just like he did us, and the blessing comes when you keep his laws, his statutes, and his commandments. I mean, you know, Brother William is an example of that, you know, and everybody has been praying. Yes, weapons will form, but they won't prosper. And we have to do our part. But the Most High is faithful to his people, and he is going to do what he said he was going to do.
Hallelujah.
And we have been diligent over the last years, talking and telling people. And you know, if you're a Mormon, we don't knock you to be a Mormon. You can be whatever you want, a Catholic, a Baptist, or whatever. But when it comes time, Yah is going to take his people out of these religions, because that is not what he planned for us. We are to worship him and him only.
That's it.
Yes, indeed.
Nothing else. So we have to remain faithful. We have to remain here and do what he has called us to do. Brother Uriah, I'm going to open up your mic one more time so you can give the announcement about the new moon ceremony, if you don't mind.
Yes, family. We're having our new moon celebration on next week, Saturday. And in the evening, September the 2nd, we're going to meet on our Saturday line at 8 o'clock p.m., and I will continue to announce it throughout the week.
Shalom. Thank you so very much. In all of the things, just remain faithful and trust Yah. He has us. He's not going to let anything happen to us, but you have to watch what's going on and see how this thing is moving forward toward the end time. Because it's going to be a one-world religion, whether you like it or not. It's going to be a one-world religion, and that religion is going to be spearheaded by the Gentile. It ain't nothing nobody going to do. Why? Because the Gentiles are in charge until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled. That's the scripture. And we have to be honest with ourselves and realize that. And like we said yesterday, if you want to see who the Gentile is, like Luke, I think 21:24 said, Jerusalem is being trodden down by the Gentile. Look at Jerusalem.
Yep.
Say that again.
He said the Khazars over there.
Yeah, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That's what it is. Yes, indeed. And we just have to know it. We have to know exactly what the scripture says. We have to remain faithful to our Elohim, and we have to continue to gather ourselves together so when the time comes, we'll be able to go to where it is he's got planned for us. And that's back to the land of Canaan. Not Africa, not Ghana, not back to the land of Canaan is where he promised that he would take us. And we believe that, and we're going to hold fast to that. Mm-hmm. And on that note, if there is nothing else, anybody, we're going to go up the line. Brother William, you and your wife, you have anything to say to everyone before we dismiss?
William?
Maintain shield. Shield of faith. Hold on to it.
All right, it's area code 504.
Let's have a blessed day.
All right, Brother Urash Shalom.
Just want to say, I just pray for, continue to pray for Brother William. Glad to hear your voice again, bro. You and
Thank
your wife
you.
Have a blessed day, and this goes for everybody in the nation of Yehuda. Love you guys. Like Brother Adoniah say, I love you guys with everything I got, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Uh-huh. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty God.
Hallelujah.
You know, to our brother Adoniah, we miss you. We look forward to hearing your voice one day. Shalom, shalom, everyone. You guys have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll see you at our appointed times this week. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Enjoy your day. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.